While the war in Europe retains the headlines, events that have been taking place in Asia and in Western Africa may be in the long range of far greater concern to the United States and may require immediate decisions on our part of far-reaching importance. As the war has been taking place in Europe, Japan has considered it a golden opportunity to win its undeclared war in China. Japan is a great industrial nation and has needed only customers for its factories, raw materials, and an outlet for its surplus population. China's invasion was for the purpose of providing for Japan 3 million customers, and by setting up puppet states there, Japan will acquire such customers. Even then, she will need raw materials, but ready at hand are the raw materials of French Indochina and especially of the Dutch East Indies, from which we get a major part of our rubber and our tin and other raw materials too. And once having the raw materials, an outlet for Japan's surplus population is ready at hand in the Philippines, in Australia, and New Zealand. As soon as the Dutch East Indies were invaded, Japan began to look toward, as soon as Holland was invaded, Japan began to look at the Dutch East Indies. And she has been bringing pressure all during the war on Britain and France to no longer supply the armies of Chiang Kai-shek. Since the collapse of France, why then no supplies are going to Chiang Kai-shek over the French Indochina Railroad. And recently Britain agreed to close the Burma Road, a fine concrete highway over which supplies continued to go to the Chinese. That's another bit of appeasement. And during the past week, Britain announced the withdrawal of her troops from Shanghai, which were there under the protocol that was executed following the Boxer Revolution. This leaves Shanghai, the international settlement there, insofar as military is concerned, entirely in the hands of an international force composed of the United States, the Italians, and also an arrangement with the Japanese. And the only democracy now represented by military in Shanghai is our own country of the United States. Where the British troops have gone, no one knows, possibly to Hong Kong in the south on the southeastern coast of China, or perhaps to Singapore. Meanwhile, press reports show that the Japanese have filled transports of Japanese troops in China, and that those transports have been seen near the island of Formosa, which is controlled by Japan, and probably may be heading to the island of Hainan, still further south, which Japan sees since the war began. And these transports, perhaps accompanied by Japanese naval vessels, may be a threat against French Indochina. Meanwhile, too, there have been press reports that the French Eastern Fleet, or squadron at least, has sailed from French Indochina, whether for the purpose of undertaking to meet the Japanese possible invasion, which is unlikely, it seems to me, or for the purpose of leaving the ports so that the Japs can occupy them. Nobody knows definitely. In any event, it seems quite likely that Japan is set on seizing French Indochina and certainly has her eyes on the Dutch East Indies. And we will have a critical decision to make because our fleet now mobilized in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii is a threat to any Japanese military action against the Dutch East Indies. And the decision we have to make is much the decision that Britain and France had to make when Hitler invaded in the Rhineland. At that time, the French General Staff urged a preventative war, and it's now known in the light of hindsight that had the French army marched into the Rhineland, as Hitler feared it might, to meet the German army, then the German army had orders to retire. And probably if the French government had taken the advice of the General Staff and had marched in to meet Hitler then, there would have been no war at that time, and the war which has taken place would have been prevented. That is a situation which we face insofar as allowing Japan a free hand in the Orient is concerned. If Japan knew that we were unalterably opposed to their seizure of French Indochina and their seizure of the Dutch East Indies, it's quite unlikely that Japan would undertake to attempt to do so. Indeed, did Japan undertake to attempt to do so in the face of our opposition and the opposition of our fleet, it would be impossible for Japan to do so successfully, and doubtless the Japanese military and naval officials know it. Our own fleet, if it were based on Singapore, the great British naval base, would undoubtedly be able to prevent any seizure by Japan of the East Indies or of French Indochina. And, of course, the British would be delighted to give our fleet the use of that base if they knew that our fleet was going to resist Japanese aggression. And also the British, instead of appeasing Japan, as the British feel they must now do in the Orient, fighting one war at a time, they would be glad to join with us in resisting Japanese aggression in the Orient. Were our fleet based on Singapore, in order for Japan to seize the Dutch East Indies, it would be necessary for the Japanese to bring the expeditionary force which they used to seize the Dutch East Indies 2,500 miles from Japan, and they would necessarily have to fight a naval action with our fleet. Singapore being right in the midst of the Dutch East Indies, our fleet would therefore fight an action close to its own base, while Japan would fight a naval action 2,500 miles away from its base. Meanwhile, two Allied cruisers based on Singapore could patrol the Chinese waters and intercept the Japanese communications with the mainland. Communications with the Japanese must necessarily maintain because they have at this time something like 1,500,000 Japanese troops in Manchukuo and in China. And these troops cannot be maintained with supplies or food or munitions except by the use of the eastern coastal waters of China, and our light fleets could interfere with that and could retire whenever the Japanese heavy ships came up. And finally, on some occasion, our ships of the line would engage in a naval battle with Japan, where Japan was far away from her base and where the place of the battle was chosen by us. Our own fleet is such, both in its tonnage and in its efficiency and armament and in its organization, that no person who is familiar with the two fleets would have any doubt of the fact that our fleet would necessarily win the battle at the present time, provided it was fought near our base, as it would be if we were based on Singapore, and was fought far from the Japanese base. Because of all of this, it's quite unlikely that any of that would have to take place. The only thing we need to do is to take a strong position with Japan, and if we do take that position, we'll have no war with Japan. But if we set out to on an effort to appease Japan, just as the countries in Europe, the democracies in Europe, have undertaken to appease Hitler, then after a great deal of appeasement with Japan, we'll finally come to the end of our rope and of our patience, and we'll probably have to fight a war with Japan, a naval war, in which we may have to fight it far away from our base, and might therefore lose. As I said in the beginning, the events that were of greatest importance to us were in Asia and in Western Africa. And when I mentioned Western Africa, I referred to the reports in the press of the past week that technical exploits of Germany have been known to have landed in Dakar in French West Africa. Dakar is the port on the shoulder of Africa, which is nearest to the bulge of South America. And it is from that port that any effort at offense against this hemisphere would take place from the other hemisphere. And that is evidently recognized as so important by our government that we have only yesterday in the newspapers read that we have reestablished a consulate in Dakar so as to have their eyes and ears to observe what is happening. In this connection, there is of great interest to us what may become of the islands that are owned by Portugal and Spain in the event that Germany should undertake to attack Gibraltar through Spain and should overrun Portugal. There are a set of islands that run down the coast there, beginning with the Azores, the Madeiras, the Canaries, and finally the Cape Verde Islands, which are just opposite Dakar. These would be the islands which would screen this coast and screen the air and naval bases that would be used by a European power in an attack on the Western Hemisphere. And we certainly do not want to see any of those fall into Hitler's hands, and we certainly do not want to see Dakar fall into Hitler's hands. And we may have to face the question of some decisions as to whether we shall try to prevent that by force. Of course, that hasn't quite come to the crucial point yet, but it may come at any moment. Fortunately, our President and our Secretary of State, as well as the heads of our Army and Navy, are aware of the situation and are watching it carefully. Meanwhile, the war in Europe is being fought really in the air and in Africa. So far, Hitler has not yet gotten up to the point where he is either willing to risk the attempt of an actual invasion of Britain or if willing to risk it, where he is prepared to risk it. And so for the past week, he has continued an aerial activity. The British, on the other hand, are meeting that activity and the threat of an invasion by doing everything they can to break up concentrations in the ports from which Hitler would come and by attacking the munition centers in the Ruhr from which he must furnish his armies. And the new magnetic mine and the new theory of sowing it from airplanes are being used by Britain, according to newspaper reports, around the west ports of Europe where Hitler is mobilizing his forces. The Blitzkrieg, the aerial Blitzkrieg, has increased with intensity and is still going on, and at many moments there is possible that Hitler may launch his actual threatened offensive. Meanwhile, too, Hitler's ally Mussolini has undertaken to speed up the war in the eastern part of Africa. Having seized French Somaliland coming from Abyssinia and Italian Eritrea, he has invaded British Somaliland, which lies between French Somaliland and Italian Somaliland and is bounded on the west by Abyssinia itself, and is now striking at the port of Berbera, which is on the Gulf of Aden, just across from the seaport of Aden. It's necessary for Britain to hold the control of the Gulf of Aden and of the strait which separates the Gulf of Aden from the Red Sea in order to maintain the communications from the Orient through the Suez Canal. At the same time, Mussolini, too, is threatening an invasion of Egypt, which is under a treaty of alliance with Britain, threatening this invasion from Libya. Libya, however, and the western part of Egypt, which must be invaded, is a desert country where communications will be difficult. And indeed, it will probably be necessary for the Italian troops, in the event that they move against Egypt, to practically carry their communications with them. So the war and the threat of the war goes on in the Orient, in Africa, and in Europe. No one knows when the final decision will come, when Hitler will decide to make his threatened all-out attempt against Great Britain. But meanwhile, aerial activity in all phases of these wars will go on, and meanwhile, we in America watch the struggle, many of us beginning to realize now that however much we might hope to be isolated from the war, there is no such thing as isolation, and that we have a very real interest in the events that take place.
WSM, Nashville, Tennessee.